2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verses 8 to 10. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Let me read the verses. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. First of all, a note on the translation. Several versions introduce words here, and the introduction of those words robs us of what Paul is really saying here. They introduce words like that and was. Remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And it's sort of a bland fact. Remember that Jesus Christ. Remember that fact. But that's not really what Paul is saying at all. The NIV has caught this brilliantly. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. It's punchy. It's staccato. It's hammer blows. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. This, what is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Jesus Christ descended from David. Jesus Christ is my gospel. Now this little paragraph is, I believe, highly significant for us in our present circumstances. I see a growing, swelling tide, a system being brought in now, whereby the churches are breaking down the barrier between the world and themselves. There's an admixture of believer and unbeliever, and all in the name of evangelism, and we present the gospel, yes, it is the gospel, but we do it in such a way as to be user-friendly and to assimilate the unbelievers in among us. We give them entertainments, we give them food, we give them counselling on this and that and the other, we help them and all that, and we hope, of course we hope, that they will somehow come to assimilate in some way the gospel. We'll train them, we'll teach them the doctrines, and we'll teach, and they tick the boxes and they learn their lines and they join with us. That's quite foreign to the New Testament. Look at Paul here. Because of the gospel, he says, because of the way I preach the gospel, because of the way I go about this business, I am suffering even to the point of being chained, for which I am suffering. Because I do this, because I preach the gospel, I meet this suffering. And he said it again and again throughout his letters. He said it in this letter. And he says it in chapter 3, that in fact everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Why is that? 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man thinks the gospel is stupid, it's foolishness to him. Romans 8, what does the natural man think about God and his law and his gospel? He hates it. Romans 8, 5 I think it is. What does Paul say? The offence of the cross. The offence of the gospel. He challenges the Galatians. The Judaizers want to preach in a way that's taken away the offence of the cross. I glory in the cross. I glory in the offence. It's not only Paul, John the Baptist, the prophets, Christ. I came to bring a sword. They confront with the gospel. 1 Corinthians 2. And what? Chapter 1 and chapter 2. Paul, what does Paul do? He takes the Jewish cultures, he takes the Greek cultures, and he confronts the cultures. He has left Timothy at Ephesus to preach the gospel, to maintain the witness as his deputy, he's left him there as an evangelist to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a major, major Roman city with a massive cult of Artemis Diana, the great temple of Diana there, the great temple of Artemis, and the idolatrous worship and the carnality, the temple prostitution there in Artemis and Diana. It's the military might of Rome, and Judaism is there. It's a terrible place to be. It's a cauldron. And what does Paul do when he gets there? Read his letters to the Ephesians. Read him in Acts 20 as he speaks to the Ephesian elders. What did he do? He does what he says to Timothy here. Remember Jesus Christ. Preach Jesus Christ. Don't become an iconoclast and pull down the temple. Don't attack this and attack that. Preach Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. I have declared to you, he said, the whole counsel of God. I've publicly, house to house, I've tried to persuade men to repent and believe the gospel. And what is the gospel? Read Ephesians chapter 1. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here. Jesus Christ. Notice the interchange between Jesus Christ, my gospel, and then he goes on, God's word. These are interchangeable words here, if you like. What is God's word? Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? The word of God. The scriptures say, God says. The Bible is not simply containing the word of God. The Bible does not contain the word of God. It is the word of God. And what is the word of God supremely? Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ. Unbeliever, would you know what Christianity is? Would you know how to be saved? Would you know what we're talking about? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Preachers, what must you preach? Jesus Christ. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ Jesus, the Lord. Believer, remember Jesus Christ. Timothy is a weak man. He's a timid man. He's a fearful man. He's not very well. He has his troubles and trials. He has his doubts. He's apprehensive. He's cautious. He draws back. How can Paul put backbone into him? Remember Jesus Christ. Think upon Jesus Christ. Consider him. Let your mind be full of him. Set your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I have no hesitation in saying to you, believer, whatever your trouble at the moment, is it death, bereavement, fears, anxiety, lack of assurance, sanctification, you need instruction, you need guidance, what am I talking about? Anything and everything. The answer is always the same. Jesus Christ. Look at him. Think upon him. Dwell upon him. Not only for salvation, not only for removal of your sins by his precious blood, but for everything. Christ is all. Unbeliever, you don't need slabs of doctrine. You don't need creeds and confessions. I'm not saying a word against them, but that won't save you. You don't need sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper, going to chapel, going to church, reading your Bible. I'm not saying a word against reading the Bible and saying prayers. What am I saying? Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. Trust Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. The name Jesus Christ. Lord, save me. Shall be saved. Christ raised from the dead. Romans 1. He declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The Son of David, descended from David. Great David's greater son. King David. Jesus is the king. But he's a descendant. He's a Jew. He's come down the line with all the promises associated with David's line through Mary, his mother. He's inherited this. He's a man, God. God-man, man-God, Emmanuel, God with us. This is my gospel. And I preach him. And when I preach him, and I confront sinners with him, and when I confront them, what happens? I am suffering even to the point of being chained, shackles, manacles, like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. It breaks out. The gospel breaks out. This will bring the end of Artemis. This will bring the end of Judaism. This will bring the end of Roman militarism. This will bring the end of political intrigue. This will bring the end of paganism. This will bring sinners to salvation. What Jesus Christ preached. His blood, his righteousness, the glories of Christ, the person of Christ, the merits of Christ, the person, the honor, the dignity. This is God's will that all men should honor the Son. preacher, preach Jesus Christ. Believer, trust and go on hoping in, looking to, considering, remembering Jesus Christ. Unbeliever, trust Jesus Christ. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. What does he mean by this? God has his elect in the world, even in the temple of Artemis. God will be saving sinners. Even in Judaism, he'll be drawing sinners out. Even amongst the pagans, even in the political parties, God has his elect. And therefore, I'm enduring everything. I'm preaching the gospel, and that brings me to suffering. But I'm willing for that. Why? Because God uses the gospel. He uses my sufferings to lift up Christ. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. And I lift up Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One. And God draws his elect there, that they may obtain, they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. He brought us, hasn't he, Timothy? He'll bring them. Now what does Paul mean? Well, when I stand to preach, I look around and I see that man over there is elect, so I invite him to Christ. Rubbish. The hyper-Calvinists teach that. If you want to see more of what I'm now going to say, read my book, No Safety Before Saving Faith. The hyper-Calvinist view is that the elect are safe already. All they do is believe. When they come to believe, they believe, they come to believe that they are elect. That's rubbish. Dangerous rubbish. Until a sinner, elect or not, until a sinner trusts Christ, he is under the wrath of God. John 3, Ephesians 2, 1-3. Even we, like the rest, were under the wrath of God, dead in our sins. So what does Paul do? Well, he has no idea who the elect are. That's a secret thing belonging to the Lord our God. Deuteronomy 29:29. So I promiscuously offer Christ to all. I command all sinners everywhere. My God commands all men everywhere to repent. I preach that come unto me all you who labor in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. So I preach it. I say come to Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We beseech you in God's name, be ye reconciled to God. And he does that promiscuously, persuading all men from house to house, publicly, whatever, trying to persuade men to repent and believe. But he knows that God will only bring his elect, John 6, 37, 44, and other verses. What do you mean? Paul has no idea who the elect are. Peter didn't. James didn't, John didn't, none of the apostles did. They just simply preached the gospel. And God drew his elect. Once they had come to faith, then Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, can say, now we know you're elect. How do we know that? Because you believed, you repented, and you turned to God from idols. Here we go, my friend. Salvation that is in Christ Jesus. We preach up Jesus Christ then. It will bring us into suffering. And if it doesn't, if we're not meeting the opposition of the world, then we're not preaching Christ, then we're not preaching him in the way that we should be. We're tampering with the message, we're tampering with the method, and it's wrong. And we'll have disastrous results. But if we preach Christ, whatever the cost to us, God will save his elect, even as I'm preaching to you now. Even as I'm speaking to you now. It could be that some poor sinner, maybe in Russia or Australia or Canada, America, England, whatever it might be, will hear this word and believe. And be drawn to Jesus Christ. Well, what will you get? You will get salvation in Christ Jesus. You get salvation. Salvation from all your sins. Everlasting life, righteousness and peace and joy forever. And with eternal glory. What a remarkable thing. Salvation's enough, isn't it? No. Eternal glory as well. Everlasting glory. What will it be for you, unbeliever? It won't be salvation. You refuse Christ. Is it salvation? No. Damnation. Eternal misery. You don't want it, do you? I don't want it for you. That is why, in love now, I say to you, come to Jesus. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ now, and he will receive you. Christ is all. Take him for your all. His blood to wash you from your sins. His righteousness to clothe you. And you will be saved, everlastingly saved, in an instant. And you will enter into eternal glory. Well, I believe this paragraph challenges us today, rebukes us. We're going another direction, my friend, and the results will be catastrophic. We can't too soon get back to Paul's method. It will mean suffering. It will mean the contradiction of sinners against ourselves, as it did for our master. But let us follow Paul
Christ, John the Baptist, the prophets, all of them, what do? They preached God's word, Christ, the gospel. It brought them the opposition and hatred of the world and the religious world, the political world, the military world, all of it. But as they lifted up Christ, as he said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. He draws all his elect. Other sheep I have to bring. May we lift up Jesus Christ, and he will save sinners with eternal glory. And believer, in all your anxieties, fears, doubts, questions, worries, whatever it may be, remember Jesus Christ.